Hello and welcome to Re-Energize. This is the place to discover more about emerging tech and offshore renewables and how we'll meet our future energy needs. My name is Andy McDonald, Director of Offshore Wind Development and Operations here at Awari Catapult, the UK's leading research and innovation centre for offshore renewables. In this episode, I'm joined by Maggie McGinley, Chief Executive at ETZ, the Energy Transition Zone. Maggie's an expert in the energy sector and economic development. Pleasure to have you with me today, Maggie. We're having this discussion just ahead of the opening of FLOIC, the Floating Offshore Wind Innovation Centre in Aberdeen, and we'll be discussing the importance of this shortly. But before we get started, could you tell me a bit about yourself and your experience that brought you to ETZ?
Thank you, Andy. So I'd say my background is in economic development and really looking at how Scotland can continue to be successful in the key sectors that drive its economy. So I was very fortunate to spend a considerable number of years at Scottish Enterprise, involved in food and drink, and then moving into energy. And from there, I moved to Opportunity Northeast, which is private sector funded economic development. And my time at Opportunity Northeast, it became clear that we're going into considerable change within energy, not least because of climate emergency, also with a declining oil and gas base and huge exciting opportunities coming our way in Scotland and the UK around offshore renewables in particular. So long story short, through our time at Opportunity Northeast, we developed a proposal for how we could support the northeast of Scotland to become as successful as it's been in oil and gas in offshore renewables, and hence the setup of the Energy Transition Zone Limited back in April 2021.
That's what really brought us together in terms of the project around the Floating Offshore Wind Innovation Centre, the collaboration between ETZ and Offshore Renewable Energy Catapult. We're just a few days away from the opening of the centre and really excited to see it happening. Floating wind is a huge growth area, and what we need to do is to develop the supply chain around that. The centre is really a facility where we're installing the test equipment to test new technologies, particularly around the areas that are different in floating wind from fixed, so moorings and dynamic cables. The facility is there to support the supply chain in those areas. This is the first phase that we're developing. We've got about 1,000 square metres of workshop area in a building supported by ETZ. Phase two will then start to extend that to include a cable compression test rig and mooring line test rigs as well. So we're really, really excited about it. From the ETZ perspective, Maggie, what is it that you find most interesting about the project and the reasons that ETZ is keen to support it?
So first of all, it's really been able to partner with Offshore Renewable Energy Catapult in terms of, you know, you've done amazing work in terms of fixed wind. And we certainly saw the northeast of Scotland as having a massive role to play in floating offshore wind, not least because there's the first floating offshore wind project, the High Wind project, and now the largest grid-connected floating offshore wind project, the Kincardine project, just off our coast. Got the largest concentration of energy supply chain companies in the UK, and of course, world-leading subsea technology capability that will play a really important role in terms of commercialization of floating offshore wind. And actually, let's not forget, of course, through ScotWind and INTOG, a huge capability and opportunity in terms of floating wind happening offshore. So it's all of those things that came together that led us to work with yourselves at ORE Catapult to say, how do we ensure that we capitalise on this floating wind opportunity, ensure that all the knowledge and know-how being built up in offshore oil and gas can be applied into floating wind, particularly in subsea? And also, how do we ensure that those companies that have been very successful in terms of technology solutions for oil and gas can apply all that knowledge and know-how to floating wind? And also, we really didn't want to lose the first mover advantage that Scotland and the UK currently has in floating wind. So when you look globally at the size of the prize, it is anticipated to be a massive global market, and Scotland has got first mover advantage. And so it's, okay, what do we need to do and who do we need to partner with and what do we need to invest in to make sure that Scotland can really continue that first mover advantage and ultimately help companies export the knowledge and capability internationally?
I think those are some fantastic points. I grew up in Aberdeen in the 70s and 80s and kind of witnessed the growth of the oil and gas sector and the benefits that it brought to Aberdeen. And now when you look at the skills and capability in Aberdeen, it's fantastic to see that. It's the reason that we're investing in Aberdeen from a Catapult perspective, because of that knowledge, the skills and the companies. That's why we've chosen it as a location, and we really see the opportunity to transfer the subsea technology skills, the asset management technology skills, as well as some of the O&M skills as well. So huge areas where we can see some overlaps, and particularly applying those in floating wind, which is the main focus of what we're doing there. In terms of helping to facilitate the just transition in terms of skills and in terms of companies, what do you see the role of both ETZ, but specifically Fluor, in helping to move companies and people across from one sector to the other?
It's an interesting question, Andy. And, you know, likewise, I grew up probably 60s, 70s and 80s with oil and gas, not to give them away my age. But I also saw the need for the economy to continually adapt and take on board the new opportunities. And it's the same with floating wind. So partly the Floating Wind Innovation Centre is about giving confidence, I believe, to the supply chain and to the broader developer opportunity that Scotland and the UK is really well positioned to support the development of floating offshore wind. So partly it is about the confidence piece that's really important, but it's also what we hope to achieve through having the investment from the ORE Catapult and all the knowledge and expertise that your organisation brings, is then to develop up a cluster of like-minded companies in the supply chain who also have different technology solutions that they can offer to the successful rollout of floating offshore wind. We would like Aberdeen to become known as really as strong in energy transition and floating wind as it has been in oil and gas. And so having a really strong innovation centre with a clustering of companies round about that, and then the building up of the knowledge and capability and skills around that, all serves to build that ambition. And I think, Andy, as you know, it's not just about the centre itself, which is really important, but it's then making sure that the companies are supported and individuals are supported with the skills that they need to be successful in floating offshore wind.
I'm a big believer in that clustering effect of how you build up knowledge and expertise and companies move in around other anchor tenants as well. I think the strategy ETZ is taking is, you know, spot on for doing that. I'm wondering if you're able to comment on the other activities that ETZ are doing that complement the offshore wind hub that you're doing as well in terms of skills and hydrogen and those aspects.
Yeah, so within the wind campus, within the energy transition zone, as well as having the Floating Wind Innovation Centre, within that building, we've also created space for companies involved in the energy transition to be based there as well, so that we're creating a cluster and a network of companies co-located together, working in different aspects of the energy transition, but hoping that they can learn from each other, network, and also, you know, start to build a very strong cluster of companies involved in the energy transition. We're creating a hydrogen campus in the energy transition zone as well, looking to particularly capitalise on green hydrogen, and fantastic if that could also be linked to the floating wind opportunity offshore or maybe to fixed wind. So green hydrogen, an important part of our plans. You know, the one thing that Aberdeen in the northeast of Scotland has been very well known for in oil and gas has been about the quality of the small to medium sized companies involved in the supply chain, and the amazing work that those individuals have done in terms of innovation, technology solutions. And so we want to continue the next generation of entrepreneurs to be looking at ideas that they've got for supporting floating offshore wind or green hydrogen or battery storage or carbon capture or direct air capture, whatever aspect it is of energy transition. So to make sure we continue to build on that great entrepreneurial mindset that this region is known for as we're moving into a new stage of energy transition. Importantly, of course, none of this happens without people, without people having the right skill sets. So we're delighted to partner with the Northeast of Scotland College and with Shell and with the support of Scottish Government Just Transition funding to create an energy transition skills hub. And that's about ensuring that the next generation of young people and individuals have got the skills that are needed to support companies as we're moving from oil and gas into other forms of green and low carbon energy. So that's the cluster for me. It's investing in individuals and their skills. It's investing in companies and small to medium-sized companies. It's investing in the innovation and technology that's needed, and also the physical infrastructure, and pulling all of that together, but doing that in a way that really delivers benefits for the just transition and to the communities living in the area as well. And that's what we're seeking to do as Energy Transition Zone Limited, and very much partnering with Offshore Renewable Energy Catapult. We're partnering with BP, Scottish Enterprise, National Manufacturing Institute for Scotland, and NZTC for the Energy Incubator and Scale-Up Hub. So partnering, working with others to deliver what we're trying to do is a really important part of what I believe will make a successful transition. So everyone talks about collaboration, but I think what the Floating Wind Innovation Centre is demonstrating is collaboration in action. And we're also trying to do that with all those other activities that I mentioned.
I do strongly agree that it's the synergies between all those different aspects, from skills to companies, from the developers right down to the smallest companies, is absolutely key to a successful transition. We've had lots of very positive engagement with NZTC, the Net Zero Technology Centre, and also NMIS, I think, have a big role playing. That's the National Manufacturing Institute of Scotland, I think, are key to some of the developments as well. So I think, yeah, more partners in all of these collaborations is absolutely key. I was wondering, in terms of moving forward, in terms of making a success of transition and floating wind, there's a number of challenges that could come up in terms of timing and in terms of certainty of pipeline. What do you see as the biggest challenges and the biggest opportunities facing the sector that will make or break transition from your perspective? And what can we do to make it a success?
Timing is everything, isn't it? And that's so important for a successful and managed transition. And we always see it as a managed transition. So as oil and gas production in the UK declines, then it's important that offshore renewables accelerates, so there's not a gap that would leave those companies and individuals with no revenue and therefore no jobs. So closing that gap and managing the decline and decarbonisation of oil and gas production, but accelerating the rollout of renewables, I think this is a really important part of all of this. And that's why the Floating Wind Innovation Centre is so important, because everything that can be done to accelerate the rollout of floating offshore wind and prove what can be done at scale, and also ensure that Scotland and the UK has got a competitive advantage in doing that, helps both the Scottish and UK economy, but also then helps in terms of our export capability, because all of that know-how built up for floating offshore wind and applied offshore in Scotland can then be applied elsewhere in the UK, but of course can be taken overseas. So in the way that the oil and gas industry in Scotland is known all over the world for its pioneering ability and for the quality of the people and the know-how and the expertise in oil and gas, we would love to achieve the same for floating offshore wind. And that's where I think the investment in the Floating Offshore Wind Innovation Centre is such an important part of that. The challenge is about the timing of the opportunity and ensuring that ScotWind and the INTOG projects are fantastic. We now need to make sure that government plays its part to make sure that both UK government and Scottish government are doing what they need to do to accelerate the timelines. The developers need to work to play their part to accelerate the timelines. And of course, the supply chain and supporting organisations like ORE Catapult and ourselves and others, we all need to play our part to bring it all together and make sure we're working together to accelerate, which is really sort of challenging technology, but really exciting as well, and what really plays to the strengths of Scotland and the UK. So if we can all work together, if governments do what they need to do and do it in a very joined up way, then I feel we've got a real competitive advantage here, which is really exciting for floating offshore wind, but also the same in green energy, carbon capture and storage, and other areas of the energy transition. That was probably a very long answer, pretty short question.
I think it's a very complicated landscape. I think we'll all agree. And I think that the coordination between those parts is really key, both from government and industry. I think you're absolutely right there. It's interesting you mentioned the INTOG leasing round. So that's the Innovation and Targeted Oil and Gas leasing round run by Crown Estate Scotland. To me, those are incredibly important projects in terms of de-risking technology and ensuring that costs do start to reduce in order to move on to larger scale programmes. And I see one of the key things that the FLOWX Centre, the Floating Wind Offshore Wind Innovation Centre, is doing is helping companies to develop products and accredit those so that they can be used on those projects going forward. Those stepping stone projects are absolutely key. So really pleased that you mentioned the INTOG. And we're working with NZTC on a couple of joint industry programs as well to bring some of the developers together. So it is that kind of multi-layered coordination that's required really to make this happen. So some positive things happening there. We do need to bring them all together. I think you're absolutely right. We've made a fantastic start in terms of, you know, where we are with FLOWX, but also in terms of ETZ. ETZ has been going, it's a couple of years now, 3 years, that time. And, you know, some huge achievements in that space. Still lots to do, I'd guess. And I'm sure that your board and your stakeholders will be no doubt telling you to keep going and keep doing more and pushing forward. What comes next for ETZ? What are the next steps you're looking for in the next big projects?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's no shortage of things to do, and pace is really important in this. So our next projects are to get the energy incubator and scale-up hub up and running and the energy transition skills hub up and running, so we continue to support companies and individuals with what they need to support them in the energy transition, and also working on a green hydrogen test and demonstration facility. So in the same way that Scotland has got a real lead in floating offshore wind, we believe there's huge potential for Scotland to also lead in production of blue and green hydrogen. So green hydrogen test and demonstration facility is certainly being developed at the moment. We're also delighted that both UK government and Scottish government has awarded the northeast of Scotland in terms of investment zone status. And so we're working with partners there to develop up the overall proposal for that and what that means in practice. I mentioned the supply chain companies, and that continues to be an absolute priority for ETZ Limited, because it's those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of companies, many of them SMEs, some of them global players, who have ensured that the oil and gas industry has been a success. We want to ensure that those companies are supported as they are also transitioning their businesses and their businesses models to be more focused on lower carbon and green energy. We've been working through the Scottish Government Just Transition Fund on a supply chain pathway and challenge fund for small to medium sized companies in particular, helping those companies understand, well, what is the energy transition all about? When are these projects going to come to fruition? When is my company actually going to see some revenue from these projects and win some contract for them? What changes do I need to make to my business to make sure that I'm ready for these new opportunities, and what sort of investments do I need to make? So we are providing a lot of support to those small to medium-sized companies to help them with those key decisions, and with some challenge funding, which will support some of the investments they may need to make in equipment and digital or hardware or software to help make sure that they're ready for these new opportunities as well. So again, we're partnering with Scottish Enterprise on some of this, and it's back to being quite specific to help companies really understand the nature of the opportunities coming with the energy transition and the timing of them, so that companies can plan what they need to do and when. So that's a big part of what we'll be doing and continue to do over the next coming months and years.
I do share your optimism of the future and the growth of floating wind. Huge amount still to do, but really, really exciting opportunities. So that's fantastic. It's been a really useful conversation, Megan. Really appreciate you spending the time to talk us through some of the exciting things ETZ are doing. Lots of good stuff, always around people, always around skills, always around the supply chain. And that's absolutely the heart of transition.
Thank you, Andy. And thank you, Ori Catapult, for, you know, working with us to develop and put what was an idea 3 years ago into something that is really exciting. And I think when people come and visit the Floating Offshore Wind Innovation Centre, they're going to be really, really impressed with the facility there. And it puts us on the map globally. And that's really important and really exciting.
Maggie, many thanks for taking part in this episode of In Conversation With Series 4 Re-Energise. It's only a few days until we cut the ribbon at FLOWX and celebrate the success of Phase 1. I can't wait to see what we can work on together next in the coming years to ensure that it delivers on the fantastic potential that it offers us. It's now time to de-energise until next month. In the meantime, listeners can find more about ORE Catapult activities at ore.catapult.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on our social media channels on LinkedIn, X, and Instagram at ORE Catapult. Many thanks, and we'll speak to you next time.